I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Can I kick it? Of course I can. Welcome to the Football Ramble, everybody. A dramatic win for Manchester United and Coventry are off to Wembley. It's Monday, 18th of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm the Dushan Arthur Roger. Yeah.
Oh, cometh a big victory for Manchester United. Cometh the man.
It's like saying Candyman in the mirror three times. Vichy's on the pod.
Vichy's on the pod, everybody.
Vichy's on the pod.
Vichy's on the pod. Come on, the man of the bat is back.
Yeah.
He's brought a ball with him this time.
You were meant to be back after the Fulham game. Stayed a bit further. Stayed a bit longer in India.
Yeah, I thought I might as well cover the last test.
What was the point?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, there was no point whatsoever.
As Vich walked back through Heathrow on the anything to declare, just a Man United win. And here I am.
Here he is.
Yeah. I actually got searched on the way back. So,
did you?
Yeah. No
Good.
Idea why.
Good.
I had a very neat moment where the bloke was like, have you got any cigarettes on you? And I was like,
probably.
Well, these in my pocket. And yeah. I pulled out and he was like, how many have you got there? And I was like, I've got 10 cigarettes.
He's like, can I have one?
Did you get any? He searched you, did he?
Yeah, he searched me, yeah.
Bloody hell.
10 cigarettes.
They were like, that man's, I think he thought absolutely reeks of opium.
I think he thought I was being smug, but no, I generally just had 10 cigarettes, man. Mm.
Better to be smugged than smuggled.
That's true. Mm. Yeah.
Did I got put them on in your mouth.
Yeah.
Right.
Can we fast forward to the game bit now?
No, Marcus,
I've been away for so long.
Marcus said he got searched once, and I want to hear about this.
Yeah, I was coming back from Ghana, obviously.
Yeah.
Being with my people.
Yeah,
but I went via Amsterdam.
Yeah,
and they said, oh, who you know, fly back from Europe or outside Europe? And I thought it'd be quicker if I said go outside back from Europe.
Yeah,
technically I have.
Yeah.
But I had a big backpack on.
Yeah.
A little bit of a travelly thing. And,
Were you wearing your legalised t-shirt?
The whole thing.
And then it's dreadlocks at that point as well.
I was wailing. And, so where have you come back from? And I said, just flown in from Amsterdam, which probably didn't do me any favours either. And she went, I am going to have to check your bag. And when she was checking my bag, she was sort of saying, oh, I'm not going to find anything, am I? Yeah. And I was like, no, you're really not.
No, because
I'm in my stomach in a condom.
Because I've got it. Exactly. That is the way around it, kids.
Big bag of pillows.
Oh, good.
Don't
oh,
do
good.
That. Don't good. Do that.
Don't do that. Don't because break they will the law. Burst and you'll die.
Yeah. Anyway. Drugs are bad. Don't break the no. law. Highlights of the weekend, Luke Bob.
Use FedEx.
My highlight of the weekend was Harry Redknapp's response to the news that he suddenly became aware of over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
That Ben White had turned down an England opportunity. And it's fair to say that Harry took it quite badly.
Yeah.
And started off being asked by a radio station to give his opinion, and then just went on and on and on. And I'm not going to do the whole thing because it was massive.
Because he starts with, on behalf of King and Country.
No, well, it gets to that point. He says, I'm sorry you've had your opportunity. You don't want to play for England? You tell the Bobby Moores of this world who's got 100-odd caps.
You can't anymore.
You tell the Shiltons, the Beckhams, the Rooneys, those people. Go and tell the Billy Bonds of this world who didn't get a cap and should have done. And all those great players that you don't want to play for your country. I think it's disgusting.
Yeah, I think...
It was exactly like the Exploding Heads.
Yeah.
It's scripted exactly the same way. Sounds like the streets. Yeah, it does a bit.
Without taking sides, if there are sides to be taken here, I think Ben White probably could have turned around and said, no, I really do want to play for England, but I know I'm not going to, which is why I don't bother.
Yeah, we could have done. Harry took it bad, and at the end he said, I think the door should be slammed right in his mush.
Ooh.
It's the end.
Is that, imagine that if Southgate, there was a door.
Yeah.
It's almost like
transfer
like,
windows next to it.
It's almost if like he's proving exactly why he shouldn't play for England. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. I don't need this.
Yeah,
don't
I don't
need
want it. Yeah,
that feels like, I know that this meme has died a death already, but that feels like it would have been ripe for a Park Life.
Yes,
big time.
So we're Captain Tom,
maybe. is that your highlight of the weekend again, Captain Tom?
Captain Tom. Well, Pete still not with us.
You bought their hot tub, didn't you?
I did. Yeah.
Pete, what's happening with Kate Middleton?
No, I completely missed it. Well, you did this on Luke and Pete's show, and it was very, very confusing for Pete.
It was very confusing. I forgot who Kate Middleton was. I couldn't remember whether she was the Duchess or the Duke.
Best you don't remember who she is.
I'm never going to find out. I've been away for some time.
We'll tell you later.
She's got an Adobe Creative Cloud subscription. And I, for one, love that.
Peter, your highlight of the weekend.
Gary Neville making a stupid noise.
That's Neville.
Yeah, Gary Neville.
Oh, my God!
That's worse than the Golgasm.
No, but
this is Sparta!
Sounds like he's fallen down the hall, Mark. Isn't it? Horrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely disgusting.
Everyone... What? But with on that Gary Neville thing, right?
The Wilhelm scream.
He lives in the area, right?
Yes.
And he gets free tickets.
Yeah.
Just go to the game, Gary.
Just go to the game.
Let him have a game off.
It's
only a quarter final between Man United.
Yeah.
Like, to be fair, he's not got the sanctuary of the Sky studio.
Yeah, it's true.
And those Liverpool fans will let them know what they think.
Hey,
of him.
He was watching it on terrestrial television.
Yeah.
And not using an illegal fire stick like other footballers.
Yeah. That was a great contribution by Gary, though, wasn't it? Who is becoming weirder and weirder by the season, and people just aren't picking up on it.
I don't know. There's just a lot more of him around, and you know, people will find out you're a weirdo eventually.
That's true.
A really good point. Yeah.
It's also very rich.
Speaking of which, Vish, your highlight of the weekend.
My highlight of the weekend was during the VAR break. To check Ellis Sims' opener in the Coventry Wolves game. Well, Clive Tilsley, clearly with too much time on his hands, as they were going through it, just went, I suppose the question is for VAR, is it Photoshop?
Yeah.
And I was like, there's enough time has passed in this break. You've thought about it and you're like, no, I probably shouldn't say it. No, I'm going to say it.
I haven't given them enough information. I've not mentioned who we're talking about here. Oh, God.
Yeah.
But also, he's also done a classic older person thing where he has thought, right, when did that happen? I think that's funny, but I'm not on the football on the telly again for another 3 weeks. So I'm still going to do it, but it's so far gone past that no one now knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Because kids, really, you probably know talk about Photoshop all the time.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
But you just can't let this lie, can you, Vic?
No, you can't.
I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
It looked fine.
Yeah. My highlight of the weekend definitely was...
He's got long arms, it's all right.
He's got long arms. I like helping people.
Yeah.
And I like to think that in some way, just supporting my football team, it helped out Aston Villa in their Champions League.
Campaign.
A lot of people tweeted me for some reason saying, oh yeah, thanks for that. And I was like, well, I didn't kick a ball.
No.
Just merely being there, seeing Fulham's best performance of the season, stopping Tottenham scoring was very delightful.
And the new Mitrovic is going great guns now.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
I know.
Unfortunately, we got a load of FA Cup crap to
get out of the way.
Go on then, Man United 4, Liverpool 3. Go on, Fishy, what about that?
Just order is restored in the world, isn't it? I don't think they wanted it as badly as us.
Here we go again. Yeah.
Which probably is down to the fact that they've got bigger fish to fry. But
yeah. I don't.
We'll have the little fish, please.
Well, they were happy to win the League Cup, and that's a smaller fish than the FA
White
Cup
bit.
Fish.
That's
the smallest fish. Farewell tour. Yeah. please don't email it.
One less date on the farewell tour.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He can put all his effort into that semi-final defeat.
So Jurgen Klopp's very much. Jurgen Klopp also did basically an Axl Rose on his farewell tour as
Is
well
that right?
Got really pissed off and stormed off.
Yeah, so he a lot of people would have seen this. He had a go at what I think was a foreign journalist, wasn't it? Let's just play the clip.
I'm really disappointed about that question, but you thought obviously it's good. So too many games, so I don't think that come on, you are obviously not in a great shape and I have no nerves for you.
Yeah, bad loser he is. Yeah.
I have no nerves for you, did he say?
I can't remember what he said. Right.
I think he was saying like I've got no patience for you.
Right, okay,
Clearly.
Andy said, presumably through some kind of like translation, that because he can speak a bit of German, he said that he thinks that Klopp also meant that he wasn't in good mental shape. Not that he wasn't saying he was fat, like a Louis van Gaal, Neil
yes.
Custis.
Yeah.
Fat men.
I think that was clear to everybody, but apart from one person was just tweeting that he called the man fat. He didn't. He said he wasn't in very good shape. But he's just talking about the way that the questions were asked.
And also
he was spiky though.
Oh, very spiky. And he always is. He always is when that kind of stuff happens. Mm. But what a game though.
What a game. It was incredible, wasn't it? Scott McTominay, McSauce, with another goal, of course, got it going.
And they should have scored before that as well. They started so strong. It was kind of interesting.
It was a great performance for Manchester United. Although Liverpool would have felt perhaps in the second half, maybe they should have killed it off because they had a number of opportunities, which was highlighted that their final pass let them down. Quite severely, you would say, Vish, because they lost the game.
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of luck involved. But it was weird in that way that it felt like the luck was going back and forth because I felt like Liverpool could have killed the game in the second half, certainly at the start of it.
And they were ahead twice.
They were ahead twice. They also could have killed it at the end when, you know, they were ahead in extra time. And then at the same time, Marcus Rashford, with the last kick of regulation time, it puts one past the post.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a big miss. He put it quite far wide
huge.
As well.
I think, like, generally, from Manchester United's perspective, I was quite impressed with how they came back from their own mistakes, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think there's been a lot of like woe is me about United in those, when those particular duff moments happen. And it wasn't so much that. And I think part of it comes down to actually just wanting and needing it more than Liverpool. And it's not to say that like United expended any greater passion than Liverpool did. It's more that like when it came to it, that was United season.
Yeah, yeah,
and they were clawing for it, and they haven't clawed like that for a while. Actually,
even Anthony was races.
I've got this right foot. I might as well use it now.
It annoyed the shit out of me that he scored an actually meaningful goal because that goes against the narrative in a big way.
Very much so.
But there was also a point to make that like I think Liverpool just thought that United would shoot themselves in the foot. Understandably so. And I think, like, I was looking back, and I'd be keen to hear what Liverpool fans have made of this, but it kind of makes the team he put out on Thursday against Sparta Prague all the more ridiculous, maybe.
Why like, do you think
so that? Salah and Szoboszlai play the whole game, mm-hmm. having come into that game with a 5-1 lead.
Yeah.
Knowing that this game was more important than that game,
you could argue Salah's
with a 10-day break,
Salah's not played that much of late.
Sure, but like, but then like you know, it's 4-0 after 15 minutes.
But it is a training ground game.
I just wondered about that because I didn't think they looked particularly tired, but they did take their foot off the gas unnecessarily. Yeah. They could have battered United at the start of the second half, and they didn't.
Well, that's what made it such a great game. I mean, from a neutral's point of view, you know. Those of us who are of the generation that, you know, FA Cup games were a properly big deal.
Great weekend for us.
All on terrestrial television this weekend, which is a massive thing as well. You know, that has such a big impact. And, you know, and you could see what it meant to some of the fans in the stadium.
And
as well,
Gary Neville.
And some of the fans not in the stadium, yes. like Gary Neville, running around their living rooms. But the overwhelming feeling I got from watching the game was just that this has been a fucking great game.
Oh, man.
It's like an all-time great game. And what I find a little bit disappointing about modern football is that these amazing games that stick in the mind for years and years, they don't seem to have the room to exist as much anymore because there's so many games. So you might have an absolute weekend of barn burners. I mean, 3 or 4 weeks ago in the Premier League, there was an amazing set of games. Yeah. It's instantly forgotten about because there's so much football to talk about.
Well, so many clips and so much footage shared and so on.
It felt like this was a throwback because it felt like a real event.
Well, the fact is
that stick in the mind for a while.
We're talking about this before Wolves Coventry.
I know.
That's how good it was.
Which was also a great game.
Yeah, indeed, which we will get onto soon. But I mean, of course, right at the end of the game, Amad Diallo scores the winner in the 120th minute, got sent off for taking his shirt off in celebration. And I, do you know what? I thought to myself, because I'd forgotten.
He needs game time as well.
Well, he does. I'd forgotten that he was on a yellow. And you know when somebody celebrates in a way which I think, now you've not caught the moment there. I actually felt that with him because he comes across such a nice lad and so on. And when he's holding his shirt up, I was like, no, just get lost in the moment. Why are you going, hey, it's me, it's Scott. I was like, and he got punished for it and rightly so.
I like him as a footballer. I would very much enjoy seeing him a lot more in the Premier League because coming through at Sunderland, he was so green and he just couldn't get catch up with like the physicality of that particular league, and now he's just got everything for me. I think he's
These are the kind of moments. Sunderland. These are the kind of moments that burnish a young player at Man United's reputation, right? Yeah. Because they've had such a great story of bringing players through, and for him to come and do that. I mean, Kobbie Mainoo's done similar stuff as well at times. You know,
when I saw those feet, I did think to myself,
yeah.
Gareth.
Five more years.
You know, I thought, Jude, if you're going to, you know, pin your hamstrings, go ahead, mate.
No.
Ready-made replacement.
Okay, don't mind. You need to calm down.
Don't worry.
You've been up in the Himalayas. Okay, but you need to come back down.
I think it's the Indian cigarettes. They're pretty harsh.
the Man United winner.
Indian cigarettes.
I'd love a little YouTube channel of you just reviewing cigarettes of the world.
Chain smoking.
Yeah. That's actually quite nice, actually.
Yeah. I did.
Maurizio Sarri in the background.
I was missing you so much, Vish. I googled some early appearances from you on the internet, and you've got a YouTube channel that you made that just has one video, and it's just a woman from, I think, ESPN Australia getting your name wrong.
Yes,
sounds good, mate. How many subscribers?
Don't need subscribers, and you've got good content.
One more.
Just Pete.
Here's some old tweets and Vish. December 10th, 2013.
No, don't do this. What are you doing?
December 10th, 2013. Grand Designs. Where have you been all my life? That's all right.
Yeah, it's quite, isn't it? Because normally when you go through someone that broadcasts old tweets, it involves you inevitably getting the sack.
Exactly. I was about to say, Pete, get to the ones that we can cancel.
December 7th, 2013. Oh, Manchester United, I've already have to deal with one disappointment today. At least wait till I've got out of bed. What was the other one in bed? That's the question. And January the 1st, 2014. In London, it was working up to an England collapse. In Australia, it's United losing. Is there a country where I can sleep through both?
Go, Vish.
Just working
quite
with
quaint.
Man United being a bit rubbish time zones. That's the worst I could find for Vish.
I did remember maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, I did go back and delete some pretty bad
spicy tweets.
Yeah.
as did Peter when we went to America.
Me and Pete both had.
Oh, yeah, we had to go back and, yeah, when we did all my Death to America stuff.
Careful. Yeah. When we went, he didn't do that.
Why
am I defending you?
Does anyone know how to get fertilised? We went through all our tweets, didn't we?
We had to because
under Donald Trump.
Yeah, it was the Trump administration, we had to.
They were a little bit sensitive, weren't they, for people tweeting about them. We went needed work visas.
Do you know that when I visited Miami, I was going through transiting through Miami, and I showed them my passport, and they said, "You've got the wrong visa. Like you had the wrong visa back in the day." Well, I was down as a sports person rather than someone just talking about.
Are they blind?
But you're always wearing a football shirt, so you're fine.
I am, yes, true.
Speaking of that, Pete's wearing a pair of tracksuit bottoms today, which he proudly announced to me earlier, part of the Martin Kemp collection at Sainsbury's.
Correct,
you're wearing a pair of tracksuit bottoms endorsed by a bloke who used to be in EastEnders and an 80s pop band.
Exactly. What do you refer them to as?
They're wank pants. They are wank pants. I mean, there's no two ways about it. They're
Two ways. No,
President,
no.
But can I just put them on? Can I wrestle it back? Can I just briefly wrestle it back
to the scenes of celebration?
The Man United winner,
yes.
Where Liverpool player, I think it was Harvey Elliott, who had scored earlier, got caught in possession, and then United had the real desire to get forward and get a winner.
I mean, Garnacho, eh?
Yeah, and I could not believe the legs on Garnacho in that moment.
Yeah.
Given the amount of football he's played, given that he's got a bit of stick, I think probably unfairly. On the other side, actually on the flip side of that, playing on the opposite flank to Anthony is probably fantastic for anyone's career. but he was still busting a gut to get there, and it really did show how much they really badly wanted it. And I think it can be a bit of a lazy cliche, saying, that team wanted it more or whatever. But in that moment,
when you see him long busting,
it was just very, very impressive to watch. Mm. Yeah, very impressive.
Yeah. I thought he could have gone on his own.
He should have done on his own. That would have been great.
The spirit of Mohamed Kudus. But when the goal went in, obviously there's going to be great scenes of celebration, but it was like almost beyond that. Like there was a kid in the crowd who was
crying.
I honestly thought Ten Hag, when the goal goes in, he kept his composure. I actually thought he looked like he was almost like holding back the,
right, could have been,
the sort of the tears of joyous emotion.
Yeah.
But it was unbelievable. As
and one of his coaches came up and said, you're thinking about Marcus Rashford off the ball again, mate.
Yeah. You had a few things to say about Rashford off the ball. Because, I mean, obviously he scored the goal and he missed chances, but he was involved quite a bit in their attacking play.
There was just one particular moment for one of the Liverpool goals, I forget which one it is, where...
the Kwanzaa run.
That's right. Yeah, he does let players drift past him. There's been clips posted online, which I know can be unhelpful in isolation, where he has just drifted and let players go past him, which is kind of a cardinal sin the way football's played these days.
Anthony Gordon wouldn't do that,
but he definitely wouldn't. He gets through so many doggies.
Yeah.
But producer Finn said, oh, you know, don't worry, Marcus will write an article in the Players' Tribune about why he actually wanted the ball, and it'll be fine.
Yeah, that's Rashford, not me.
incredible
win.
It was a game for the ages, it really was. And I think it's hard to stand out these days because there's so much football played. But that was the barn burner of the season, in my opinion. There's something about the knockout nature of the game that makes it more impactful to me, at least. The fact that it's on terrestrial TV. And without being too kind of mawkish about it, you know, these are the kind of things that kids who can watch this, kids who can't afford to have subscription TV, kids that don't have the wherewithal to find a stream to watch it or whatever, can watch this on the national broadcaster or one of the national broadcasts on terrestrial telly, and it can make them fall in love with a football team, and that's an amazing thing, and we can't forget that.
And then they can watch some Mountain Deck afterwards.
And then get yourself some Mountain Deck.
Exactly, and then have Gary Neville scream at you on social media. Yeah. But at least Gary had a good weekend, because not all the Nevilles did.
No, they didn't.
Because
what's Phil done?
Fizzer, they
wanking.
In Pete's pants.
He went. he was seen on the beach.
Got to be a better way to phrase that.
Actually, that's a good weekend.
Not for the locals.
No. Pete, can we just get a confirmation here? Has Fizzle wanked in your trousers or not?
I don't know. In Spanish?
Well, they did lose.
They did.
Which is a great team. So sad for him. Also sad for Harvey Neville that his contract with Inter Miami was mutually terminated. However...
Before you move on to that...
Yeah.
How mutual do you think it was? How much did Harvey go,
your dad's not here, so go away. Your dad's not here.
How much? I don't think Harvey ever walked into the office and went, I don't want to play here anymore. Yeah. I don't think that happened.
I think he said it's too hot and humid here.
Yeah.
There's a place a bit further north from here.
Or maybe he went, can you get Lionel to come in and tell me he wants me to stay? We'll ask him.
Yeah.
Right. What am I learning from the players around me?
Yeah. Until then, off you pop. He has since signed for Portland Timbers.
Official MLS team with the Ramble?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fizz's team.
Yeah. How did he get that?
Yeah, it's just, mate, he worked really hard on the trial of, by the look of it, about 10 minutes and got signed.
Don't be harsh. There's a young lad trying to apply his trade in football.
Was he not already on loan there for some reason? Did I think he was on? Why would I thought he was already on loan there?
I wouldn't worry about it.
So he's playing for the second team.
No insight is needed
here. Okay,
he's going to be playing for the second team, isn't he?
Yeah, Timbers 2.
Yeah, Timbers 2.
Until his dad gets sacked.
This time it's personal. Timbers 2, you won't believe what happened next.
Timbers 2, keep it in the family.
Yeah. Portland Timbers was such a cliffhanger. I'm well pleased they got the second one for Harvey.
Back in the habit. Right then, everybody, let's move on to
Will. Harvey Airbud?
Yeah.
It's just like, I can't believe he's here.
I said, let's move on to Wolverhampton Wanderers 2.
Did Wishbone play football?
Coventry City 3. Coventry.
That was a game.
Oh, my goodness.
Well.
I mean, you talked about Manchester United Liverpool being a classic throwback, you know. One that we'll always remember, or certainly some fans will remember. I mean, Coventry City. What a victory this was. So dramatic. And only the second time in their history they've reached the semi-finals of the FA Cup. I didn't realise that.
87 when they won it, right? Is the other one.
And who,
must be.
Go on. Say,
Keith Houchin.
There it is.
Keith Houchin. The only thing I know him for. The only thing I know him for.
It's the only thing he wants to be known for.
Yeah. You know what they say? Being a one-hit wonder is better than being a no-hit wonder.
Damn right it is. Pete knows that.
Good pools manager.
Yeah, he did manage Hartlepool, didn't he?
For a long time, him and Mick Tate.
There we go.
Big Thatcherite, according to his Wikipedia.
Is he really?
Okay,
according to his Wikipedia.
Okay.
Yeah. What's he like on Twitter?
No idea.
I had a bit of a ding-dong with Matt Letizia's daughter on Twitter yesterday.
Bloody hell.
Did you really?
I then found out that it's his daughter-in-law, so I've embarrassed myself there.
Oh.
Why are we arguing?
Because someone who's got access to the Ramble Twitter account, I suspect it's either Rory or Finn,
right.
Posted a poll saying which club's bigger, Portsmouth or Southampton, off the back of the mailbag. And that's Marcus's fault mostly.
It's not my fault.
And then loads of people ploughed in. Mm. And then Matt Letizia...
What was the result?
Southampton won it.
No.
But Matt, first thing they have won. So Southampton...
petty.
It's unbelievable.
Matt Letizia...
Hence they're a bigger club.
Let me give us the story. I thought it was Matt Letizia's daughter, but it's his daughter-in-law.
Right.
That's a bit of details probably not needed.
Yeah.
She tweeted for some reason saying Portsmouth are only relevant because of Southampton.
Right.
And I thought I could get into that and talk a bit about how that makes no sense whatsoever. But I just quote tweeted saying your dad's a crackpot.
And
yeah.
Bring your daughter to the slaughter with Luke Moore.
I should have done that.
You're on the dock with Joey Barton.
Your old man's a crackpot's got 386 likes. So, yeah. I'm the real winner here.
Aren't you just? And so are Coventry City, for crying out loud. Talking about scenes of celebration at ends of the games, I mean...
And we wrote Coventry off, Marcus. We should be honest about that.
Bloody hell.
We had to apologise before the game, because the game, the show before last, we said we don't think Coventry have got much chance at Molineux.
No.
We rode back on that on Friday.
We did.
And then Coventry ended up winning.
And then Jim bet on Wolves winning.
A bit more on that later, because there's a twist in that tale. But yeah. what a result for them. I'll tell you what, Ellis Sims, what a player he looks like.
What a player.
He's having a fantastic season. He looks like he's destined for great things. And he was a whisker or two away from his third hat-trick in, I think, 2 weeks. Or 2.5 weeks.
Harry Kane-esque.
Very much so. And he just looked like a real handful for Wolves to deal with, and a good thing. The thing I really liked about the Coventry win as well is just that they didn't lose faith, didn't lose belief. They didn't think they were beaten. They had been kind of, found themselves behind in a knockout game, and it was a killer goal a couple of minutes from the end.
Exactly, the manner of the two goals in fairly quick succession right at the end.
Yeah, but they conceded in the 88th minute, is what I'm saying.
Mind you, he's conceding in the 88th minute. It's like conceding in the 78th minute these days. Well, You've still got time.
That's exactly what it was, yeah, because they had 10 minutes of added time. Mm. And that added time was ultimately because of all the deliberation from their first goal about that handball. But I was really impressed with how they basically took into account that they had 10 minutes to play.
Yeah.
They didn't just chuck it forward.
Exactly.
They were like, right, we've cut through them a lot already. Build. Why don't we just keep doing that?
And well, they had chances. This is it. They, by and large, they're actually fairly good value for the win. You know, obviously, one looks at that and thinks, was it a bit of a smash?
Oh, they had loads more shots, for example.
Indeed.
The real highlight of the game for me was the, and you're like this, Marcus, the unheralded and really credit not given enough to Bobby Thomas for the flick on at the near post.
Yes.
That was a fucking beauty. That is a amazing bit of skill to flick on like that, to know that Ellis Sims is there at the back post, because he could have gone for it himself.
Yep.
It was great courage courage is grace under pressure and all that. It was great great courage to do that.
In the era of playing out of the back and playing the ball on the deck and all that good stuff, a flick on is a beautiful thing.
But it was your scraps.
Yes.
But it was quite a crafty flick on. I think they didn't dwell on it because they thought it was basically a botched header on goal. Mm. But he clearly
it's proper grace under pressure. It was amazing. Yeah. It was brilliant.
I honestly thought you were going to say that the highlight of the whole affair was the unbridled joy and purity of Mark Robbins' celebration for the winner.
So he didn't lose his focus, did he? There's something about we should explain to people what actually happened. But before this, there's something. So Mark Robbins has done an amazing job at Coventry.
Phenomenal job,
right? Yeah. Well, they're on the bones of their ass when he takes over. He's taken on to within a whisker of the Premier League.
Oh my goodness!
And now they're at semi-final.
Because that would have been obviously Luton's amazing story, but
that would have been as well.
It is. Yeah,
now they're at Wembley in the FA Cup semi-final for the second time in their history. He's done an amazing job. There's something about English managers of that generation that cannot shake that real kind of like small dick energy, where they have to somehow let themselves down. It was exactly the kind of thing you'd imagine. Chris Wilder, Sam Allardyce,
Neil Warnock,
like loads to do.
I think it's
Steve
it's
McLaren bucks the trend.
He's a bit younger though, isn't he?
It's up there with Pardew at Wembley for me.
Big time.
For celebration
same
ruiner.
Same energy. So explain to people what happened.
So what happened was he was forced. He apologised for celebrating in a ball boy's face.
Because now he had an altercation with a ball boy before that.
The ball boy, because obviously they're rushing to try and get on with the game because you're into injury time. And the reportedly 13-year-old ball boy, apparently.
Literally, well done, he's 13. Literally, it's a literal example of it.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Why are football men just weird?
It's amazing.
It's such weirdos.
Yeah, that's why you love it, Peter.
The thing that fascinates me about it, Pete, is that
Fucking SeaWorld.
These days, to do what Mark Robbins has done, you have to be competent at loads of different stuff. It isn't just like back in the day where you play in the non-league where you're like, right, get the balls, get the cones out. We're going to like, if we do better than them, we'll win. And it's you have to be like a proper leader of people, like a real manager, you know, in all true sense of the word. Yet somehow these guys are able to do it, but still massively let themselves down. But then, really,
doesn't that make you sort of feel a bit like?
It's quite comforting in a way.
In a weird way, it's a bit like when you hear or you see team talk sometimes. You know, if there's a little fly on the wall and whatnot, and you think, oh, they'll speak a different language.
No, there's no secret.
And it's like up and at them, boys.
Yeah, there's no winners. Secret.
Yeah, it's the same game.
I always remember that with Bobby Robson, who was like obviously a legendary coach, and I remember him saying apparently the thing he used to sign off every team talk with is go out there and enjoy yourselves and remember you enjoy it more if you win.
Yeah.
And that's just such a basic thing
to say. It's lovely. But the reason why he celebrated in the Ball Boys face, we should explain, is that, as I say, they're trying to...
He's an idiot.
They're trying to get the game going, and the ball boy apparently said he had the ball and then he just basically sort of dropped it or threw it away and then smiled.
Yeah,
and as if to say, I'm not helping
he's
you.
He's 13.
Yeah, and this is the thing.
I don't know, but to be fair to Mark Robbins, he did say, look, that's why I reacted, but I apologise unreservedly. Because Gary O'Neill said it was disgusting.
Yeah, and there's no doubt what I have done. But you know, what this is the thing, the punishment that Mark Roberts will get for that is that they're playing Man United in the semi-final. This could be as good as it gets. Mm. That moment could be as good as it gets in his whole managerial
career.
And
that's the thing.
And that's how he spent his time.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I don't think the Coventry City fans will worry too much.
No, they won't.
Did you see how had your right knee slide absolutely decimated the 18-yard line?
Yeah. Yes.
It just absolutely smeared it.
I did enjoy that. You can really tell that football players are proper athletes when they hang in the air for ages for a header and when they do knee slides.
Yeah, I agree.
It's the pace needed to get that kind of distance.
And the angle as well.
And the angle, yeah.
Yeah, it was a glorious finish. What a goal to win the game.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, lovely.
It's actually,
lovely,
again, very calm, open body.
And Vish, you're delighted because Manchester United have drawn them in the semi-final.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
Dream Stealers.
Bring on the shouters at kids.
Yeah, it's effectively a bye into the final. So you look forward to getting hammered by Man City.
Exactly.
I love the idea of Eric Ten Hag doing the pros and cons of playing commentary ahead of the semi final. Mm. Yeah, the cons are all this. The pros. Mm-hmm. They are very, very aggressive towards children.
So copy Mano, you're not playing.
Look out! Yeah. Did anyone else find, like, I know we've just moved on from it. Did anyone else find it slightly funny?
Shouting
at a child? Oh, yeah, it's funny, but like...
Oh, suddenly you're rowing back on it, Pete.
No, all of it's quite funny, but like, I don't get angry about it, but it is quite funny.
And it's also very good grounding for that boy if he wants to be a professional footballer, because being shouted at by older men all the time.
Also, good. it's really good. You know when kids develop that awareness where they're like, I'm young enough that people think this is charming.
Yeah, I'll get away with it.
But I'm old enough to shithouse here.
Yeah.
So I can shithouse and then pretend to cry.
I mean, this could be the origin story.
10 months old.
This could be the origin story for an evil person, which we need more of.
Well, it might be
we need homegrown British evil people.
We definitely need more.
You know the Swansea ball boy who got kicked by Eden Hazard and now is a millionaire?
Yeah. Oh, is he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's got his own vodka company, I think.
Oh, but the way you said it was like it was related.
No. Well, it might be the origin story. Yeah.
Well, there's blame, there's a claim.
Exactly.
Maybe this kid's going to go on and do brilliant things.
He's got deep pockets.
Sincerely hope so.
Yeah. Anyway, here he is. Please welcome him to the studio today.
Oh dear. So yes, Coventry against Manchester United at Wembley.
That's a bit of a throwback. They should play at Highfield Road.
It does feel like that, yeah.
The Ron Atkinson derby.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right.
Oh, the Dion Dublin just about derby.
Kind of. Man United got a chance.
The Gordon Strachan derby. We could go on.
You don't want to be playing Man City in the final of the FA Cup, do you?
Well, we can't avoid it, can we?
Past it.
Yeah.
That's the trap.
That's the stuff.
Two FA Cup finals in a row. That's the way you got to word this.
Yeah.
You've got two Sky Blues to defeat.
Exactly.
Definitely
a warm-up act.
Yeah. By the way, Mark.
You're saying this. Don't put it on me like I'm saying it's a warm-up act.
Stop giving the wanker sign to all those commentary fans.
It could also just be the Mark Robbins derby as well. Very, very important part of Man United's history.
Indeed. All right, coming up after the break, we have goals at the bridge, goals at the cottage, and a Sean Dyche slap. See you in a moment.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Ian Wright is the neutral in the room, so, Mr. Wright, please, will you do the honours and the semi-final draw?
OK. Take up the ball bag.
When you do that to a professional like Mark Pugach, I think it's disgusting.
Not for me, I liked it.
Yeah, I'd say it.
Thanks to friend of the Ramble, Tom, for choosing that clip. You can become a friend of the Ramble too by heading over to patreon.com/footballramble. You'll also get Discord access, where a couple of patrons have recently been defending Luke's claim that Portsmouth are a bigger club than Southampton. Note, only a couple of them.
Yeah.
However, in a poll on X, people voted that Southampton were indeed bigger.
It ended up 58-41.
58-41?
Yeah, 58 to Southampton.
There was a don't know in there.
Well, 58.2 to 41.8, sorry, to be clear. It did actually move quite a lot when I started to get involved.
When you started to canvas?
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, okay.
I was door knocking all night.
And a fine job you did too, from getting it down 12%.
Oh, 42% for us is massive.
Massive.
It's a massive share. We'll take that all day long.
Indeed you will. Click the link in the show description to sign up to our Patreon.
Right, now it's time for an update on the Football Ramble Acca with Betfair. Every weekend we place a £10 Acca across 4 match odds, 90 markets in the football, and any winning bets are paid out in 90 minutes, so you don't need to worry about any stoppage time drama ruining your bet, and that will become key for what I'm about to say, so do listen in. Friday was a little different, of course, because I had to pick a horse in the Cheltenham Gold Cup. So I've even gone further than football to bring some joy, hopefully, to Prostate Cancer UK. But we'll go through in order. Pick number one, Andy picked Man City to beat Newcastle. They did, of course. They won easily 2-0.
Yeah. Very exciting game.
Yeah, jeez. I mean, what is even the point of being alive, is what I was thinking of watching that.
Deflected opener.
I know, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I know. Pick number two, Jim picked Wolves to beat Coventry. Now, I know what you're thinking. Coventry won 3-2. However, the bet still came through, though, because of Betfair's match odds 90 market. As because when 90 minutes came around, Wolves were winning 2-1.
But had Jim picked Coventry, the bet would have come through as well.
It would have, because you can't. It works both ways.
So we just need to clear that out in case people were confused.
I picked a horse to win a horse race, and it won. So 3 out of 3 so far. We're doing okay.
You phoned your mate Alan Brazil and he told you.
I hope you never pick a winner again, you old cow. I did. I called Big Al and he gave me the winner. So that's 3 out of 3. Marcus, you were at the Liverpool Man United game. So do you want to talk about that?
Liverpool won 4-3.
No, they didn't. It didn't come in. So Marcus, you've let us down. I think it's only fair if you glory in your own victories, you have to revel in your defeats as well. How do you feel that you've let the nation down?
Gutted. Oh, just a few minutes away.
I know, it was close.
A few minutes away. And
shame,
Anthony. Big shame. Could he not have done it in injury time? Then we'd have all been happy.
That's a good point,
It's an excellent point.
I don't think he knows what he's doing. look, we were so close, but we didn't win that. We were a few minutes away, but that's not good enough. But we will be back with our next round Balaka on Friday, as we always are. So we pick ourselves up, we dust ourselves down, and in the words of the great Steven Gerrard, we go again.
We go again. We lose as a team. So thanks for losing with me, guys.
We don't let this slip, as Marcus would say.
Definitely. Chelsea 4, Leicester 2. Chelsea required two stoppage time goals themselves to get past the championship flyers, high flyers, Leicester City. Lost a few games in the championship of late, but still.
We had a few people complain about us giving Leicester too much prop.
Really?
Right. Because apparently they're starting to falter a bit, but they're still doing bloody well.
Why are you saying they're good? Because they're still top of the league.
Yeah. Did you know they used to be even more top of the league? what I like about this game, Chelsea 4, Leicester 2, is the fact that even though Chelsea won to get through to the semi-final of the FA Cup and they've got to the final of the League Cup, no one who supports them is having a very good time.
No, it's
everything they can complain about, they will.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably like nobody knows how good they are still. And the jury is very much out. I mean, they were booing Pochettino and chanting, "You don't know what you're doing," when he subbed off Mudrick into the second half. And
For Chuck Wemeker, who scored the winner.
Yeah.
But so maybe just shut the fuck up.
It's a strange old situation at the Bridge. I don't know what to make of it.
It's a horrible place.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
I've been to Stamford Bridge with Peter to watch Chelsea against Newcastle. Chelsea won pretty handily, of what I remember.
Right.
And it was notable for a kid next to us who inexplicably had a pair of football boots with him.
He was just carrying. In case he'd get taken on the pitch.
He needs to be screamed at.
He does.
You don't want him getting any ideas above their stations, I would say. I very much enjoyed Kukurea's opener because he was so unmarked.
He was just miles away.
He couldn't believe it.
What are you doing there then, defenders?
Well, they probably thought, he's not going to do anything. No. But he bloody well did.
He's standing in his 6-yard box, mate.
Marcus, would you be interested in having, based on that performance, would you be interested in having Raheem Sterling on the plane?
Well, Luke Moore, that's very naughty of you to say that.
Why? It's a question.
It's the football ramble. We're rambling about football, mate.
Fish, stick the boot in on Marcus as well.
Why? What have I done?
I feel like you've been quite consistent because, you know, whatever Gareth says goes in your head. Mm. But you were consistent about, you know, Sterling's not in, and that's Gareth's decision. We have to respect that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's got to a point now where Sterling, having played brilliantly at the start of the season in patches, is now in this weird funk that he often gets into.
Yes. Mm.
But it's coming at a bad time,
isn't it? Well, you realise how good Pep Guardiola is as a manager. Obviously, he produces on the football pitch, but sometimes when the players leave and what tune he can get out of some players, of course. And Sterling is one of them. I mean, his end product at Man City. Yes, he often was slightly criticised for missing some chances, but he scored an awful lot of goals and played some great football there.
I was at the back post. Should have been there where Kukurea was.
Yeah,
he kind of was. Yeah, he was just a bit more in the middle.
I mean, the penalty, let's start there. A strange penalty. He did take one for England like that away to Iceland in the UEFA Nations League.
There we go.
He kind of rolled it down the middle.
There we go.
And it was a goal.
Yeah.
I just like the idea of a reel-to-reel kind of old-school projector in the dark, cigarette on the go, just watching these UEFA Nations League
I don't know. I'm
matches.
Not a cigarette on the go.
All right, not a cigarette on the go.
Those
whiskey.
Very bad for your health.
One of those little chocolate cigarettes.
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
In a holder.
A cream tea. Oh, you don't drink hot drinks.
Just a scone.
Cream soda.
Just a scone. A dry scone.
I pronounce it scone.
Do you know, as loath as I am to wrestle this back to Raheem Sterling, first of all, you're the only person in the country that remembers that goal against Iceland. Yeah.
He doesn't even remember it.
Is that the game Carl Walker got sent off?
Yes.
I vaguely remember it.
Well, and Iceland missed a penalty just after England scored theirs.
So, Scott Minto, who I like, forgive me.
What a sentence.
He did a really interesting analysis of Raheem Sterling, talking about actually, obviously, wonderful player, all the rest of it, so many things to credit him, had a great career. But he said, I've always felt from the start of his career, really, he's not, by top level professional football standards, he's actually not very good at striking the ball.
Yeah.
So I'd never have him on penalties. I'd never have him taking dead balls. He's finishing, blah, 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 his end product type thing. Mm-hmm. And it's because technically, he doesn't strike the ball as well.
I think that's a fair piece of analysis from old Minto.
And I think that penalty taking responsibility there falls upon him because he's one of the only genuinely senior pros at the club.
But Cole Palmer's on penalties.
Well, I mean, that's
normally he is. Yeah.
That's the immediate thing one would say.
The thing I'd say about Sterling as well is that he's one of the few players where his technique seems to fluctuate with his form. when you think like technique is generally something that
you rely upon if you're not
the players, like that is the base thing. At the very least, when your back's against the wall, that's what you can rely upon. Because he scored that knuckleball free kick from like 20 yards out earlier this season. Where I was like, I didn't know you had that in your locker.
Yeah,
he was in a good space and try a new thing. That free kick he took in the second half where he blazed it. Blazed it to Craven Cottage.
I mean, it's one of the worst free kicks I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I caught it, actually. But
how are you still there?
No, Rodrigo Muniz headed it in.
I know what you mean. And I think he was really busting a gut to try and kind of make up for it. I mean, he did put one on for
Palmer.
For Palmer, yeah, which was a nice bit of play. So, look, I mean, if there are injuries and and Sterling ends up going to the Euros, I don't think that's a disaster at all. I think he's still a good player and he's produced some great moments for England over the years. But we're not talking about England, we're talking about in a Chelsea context. And at the moment, he is playing for a side which doesn't really know quite what it's doing. It still seems disjointed. We thought that perhaps it would click under Poch. We've had this conversation many, many times. The fact of the matter is, Leicester were down to 10 men.
Yeah.
And Chelsea laboured. They got the victory. It's about getting through. So credit there. But you would still fancy them to put that to bed a little bit earlier and a little bit more effectively. But again, one could say, well, these games happen. Blah, 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 we're just so unconvincing.
But cup competitions are all about like little moments, aren't they, I suppose, and panicking. Yeah, Chelsea are all about little moments and panicking.
So it's no surprise they've gone deep in the cups.
They'll win one of them.
I don't know about that, but I would also just add, though, Marcus, you know, the fact that it looks a little bit all over the place at Chelsea and the fact that, you know, perhaps no one really knows what to make of them and they're not consistent, you could easily say, not just because it's Sterling, but as I've said, he is one of the senior pros at the club. He's won everything and he's pretty much, and he's got it all under his belt. Yeah, part of the reason they're not probably that consistent is because Pochettino maybe doesn't feel like he can rely on the senior players to be consistent and set the example. So it can work both ways, I think.
Yeah, that's fair. But the fact is, they're in the semi-final. And in the Cup, they've done well. I mean, you know, the League Cup, obviously, they'll be so disappointed that they didn't end up winning it. But, you know, to be as fair as we can, they push Liverpool all the way and, you know, it took a last-minute goal and extra time. So, you know, a run to the final is always somewhat impressive, of course, even though it ends in disappointment. They're in the semi-final of the FA Cup now. They've got Manchester City. You'd fancy Manchester City, of course. But you never know on the day. So in the Cups, they've done pretty well thus far. But it's again, when we talk about Chelsea, you just think it's a bit disjointed and things. Because, I mean, you look at where they are in the league, for crying out loud. I mean, they are a mid-table side.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. They're playing like a mid-table side. I know for myself, I watch a mid-table side, every other week. And don't get me wrong, I'm delighted they're a mid-table side, you know, being a yo-yo club as they were.
They're like crazy paving, aren't they?
just like crazy paving. But, I mean, okay, they have two games in hand on Fulham, but they're a point above them. So both West London clubs are hanging around mid-table. Obviously, Fulham are, you know, in the ascendancy, you would say, with that 3-0 victory at home against Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah.
Fulham became the first team to stop Tottenham scoring in the Premier League this season. I mean, incredible achievement.
That's also an amazing stat on Spurs' behalf.
Yeah.
It's something I had no idea about. Fulham have done very well there, of course.
Thank you.
But it's also interesting that it came along off the Spurs side of it, came along after one of the best performances of their season against Aston Villa in a really important game, which they won easily, in which I think they probably got a little bit too much credit for. I think there's a bit of element around Spurs because everyone likes Ange and because of, you know, they are capable of playing some nice football. No one really mentioned too much about how much Unai Emery changed things around for that game when he didn't need to. And he kind of, that was something that dogged him in the past, has been a bit of a tinkerer. But nonetheless, they won the game well, and it was a key game because they're up against Villa, you know, in terms of where they want to finish. And then they followed that up with this game where part of me just thinks, oh, it's because Mickey van der Ven didn't play, who's been absolutely brilliant. But I just don't really see a 7-goal swing between two teams being reliant on one player.
It's because Rodrigo Muniz played.
He was brilliant again.
Come on.
And the guy who came in to replace Van der Ven, Rally Dragosin, I think it was his first start.
I think
it wasn't his first start, it was definitely one of his very first starts.
Yep.
He just found it very, very difficult to deal with him. And I think once Fulham get into that groove and once they're... I mean, and João Palhinha talked a bit about how well-drilled they were for this game, well Marcus were prepared.
You can tell.
Yeah, they
straight
looked
from the off.
Really good.
Silva, honestly, it's I still love the fact that he's Fulham manager because he really could manage at a bigger club. But I think considering what's happened in his career, I think he's quite wisely chosen to kind of stay around.
Because he made mistakes before where his head turned, didn't
exactly.
he? At Watford, he moved to Everton.
And he may not have had offers. I mean, he had an offer from Saudi Arabia.
And do you not think all that stuff, because of what's happened previously, is why I suppose other clubs are a bit reticent to take him out of Fulham?
Do you not think also a lot of the bigger clubs are a bit of a mess anyway? In certain degrees.
He must just think, I could go there, but there's every chance I'll be 6 months and I'll be out of a job again. Mm.
Well, there is that, yeah. And I mean, unless it was a plum job, you know, but the fact is he is Fulham manager and he can set up a team so well. Again, because of the squad of players they have, which is a good squad, they are a mid-table side. So they're not going to win every week. You know, I always say this, but people often moan about their teams not having consistency. Well, the only teams that have consistency are the ones way at the top and way at the bottom.
But do you think Fulham fans complain about that when you're at the stadium?
No, I don't think they do.
Right, okay.
I think, inevitably football fans will think, hang on, we beat Spurs this week and then, I don't know, maybe next game they go and lose away to Sheffield United or something. You know, that would be a bit frustrating, don't get me wrong. I think that the fact is that they were so good against. It's a funny performance from Spurs.
Were you at the game, right?
Very much.
And you thought that. You weren't just there. You were very much there.
Very much so.
Yeah. You were super there.
You could see me in every angle.
But how much of it though? Take your Fulham hat off. How much of it was like it was a weird, listless performance from Spurs? They weren't very aggressive, were they?
It felt like that win against Villa. Made they'd already qualified
they cracked
for
it.
Champions
League.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Oh, we've done it now. This is the last game of the season or a couple of games. Very, very strange performance. But Fulham didn't let them play. Mm. And lovely to see big João Palhinha in the centre doing his stuff. But Fulham was superb. And when Silva gets them up for those big games, they can do it. You know, they obviously, I mean, look, Burnley have taken 4 points off Fulham this season, you know, so it's not all good. But they've been superb. They've beaten Manchester United recently. They've beaten Arsenal at the Cottage. They've beaten Spurs. And I said to Jim, before, when you know, I did say that. I said, I know, look, obviously, Arsenal have a very sort of slender lead at the top of the Premier League. I said, don't worry, because Liverpool and Man City have still got to come to Craven Cottage.
Yeah, I mean, the season before last, Fulham played Liverpool at the Cottage on the opening day of the season.
Yeah.
And they were sensational then as well. And they were very unlucky not to beat Liverpool. I also remember them getting sucker punched by Man United and Garnacho at the Cottage that season as well.
Yes.
Was it this season?
It was last season.
So, you know, they do come close to getting some big scalps. They do their best work at home, for sure.
Yeah, I just wonder if Silva kind of gets them up for the big games because they seem to be sort of more prepared. And then some of the, you know, the loss against Wolves and so on. And that's inevitable, of course. But he is, you know, he's often got his eyes on taking down the big boys.
I feel like a lot of Fulham's best work comes when they have to go toe-to-toe with an opponent.
Yeah.
Because that really, on the weekend, that really felt like Fulham outspursed Spurs.
Yeah, totally.
Like they were quick as everything, they pressed harder, they shifted the ball so quickly as well. There was a moment like late in the second half where Son was on the right and, you know, and you'd made his attacking subs. And it seemed like Fulham had more players than Spurs. In every, wherever the ball went, wherever Spurs tried to shift the ball, like Kulusevski, one of the best people at turning defenders, would turn a defender and there'd be two more waiting for him. Mm-hmm. It was remarkable.
Yeah. I saw some quite angry, I think they were Spurs fans, but anyway, referring to Ange as the Bondi Beach Brendan Rodgers.
Naughty.
Which does kind of work because of the Celtic thing and the fact that they play nice football.
Logan Brendan.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Spurs were fortunate that West Ham, you know, let's say, sort of took a point off Aston Villa. I mean, it could have been more, of course.
They came in hand over them, haven't they? I guess
they do, but the fact is Villa didn't win. But I think Villa, you know, all said and done, would be probably quite happy to have, gained a point on Spurs in that race for fourth spot. Now, another big result in the Premier League this weekend was Burnley beating 10-man Brentford to get their first win of 2024. Vincent Kompany, eh? With that blazer and white T-shirt.
No one talks enough about the fact that he dresses like he's on day release every single game.
Yeah, and well, Jim said he looks like a tech bro.
Yeah.
He looks like a tech bro with no money, which is weird.
Like he's sold all his NFTs and he's worth the pounds.
But he's so committed to that look as well.
The psychotic part of it is that it's exactly the same every single game.
Yes.
And maybe last season when they were flying, he's like, footballers can be superstitious. Maybe it's like, this is my thing. They've been shit for ages. Change it.
Why does he always wear a cap?
Yeah, it's a cap from the club shop, isn't it?
I don't know. Has he got? I can't remember what's under there. Really,
not much.
Massive head.
But he's just a handsome guy. Yeah. I don't think you need the hat.
I think maybe he's inspired by Pulis.
When you're that tall, I think you've just got that kind of presence. I suppose you don't need the accoutrement. You don't need the headwear.
Let it all out there. Let it
all out there.
I interviewed Vincent Kompany once, and he was the biggest bloke with the biggest head I've ever seen.
Mm. You're obsessed with big heads, though.
I am. You'd say it's a big win for Burnley, which of course it is, because any win they get is big for them. Two points I would like to make is that Brentford went down to 10 men very, very early.
Damning loss for Brentford. They can't win.
I know. And Burnley looked... Maybe I'm backfilling this narrative, but I said a while ago, I don't know why they don't play Muric in goal instead of Trafford, who I think's found it quite tough to make the transition. They did play Muric. They won, and he got man of the match.
They listened to Luke Moore.
Well...
And they got the points.
No, it's still influencing the game. That's all I'm saying.
I think so. You're right.
No insight from me on Muric's head size as yet, but I will report back.
Appreciate that. But Brentford are lucky that teams below them just can't buy a win, other than obviously Burnley, because they have been so poor results-wise.
It's been the worst Premier League season for them since they've been up.
Yeah.
And they're in an area of the table which they're just not used to being in. I think they'll still be okay, because we're still waiting to hear what's going to happen in Nottingham Forest anyway.
And Everton.
Yeah. Everton have had theirs reduced, but there's something else pending,
exactly.
Right? So essentially, it's going to be some effort for Brentford to get relegated this season, given that Burnley and Sheffield United are gone, and there's one team left that can go down, and one of them, and one and possibly two of them are going to get points deductions.
Well, and obviously Luton got a vital point. I mean, it's not just gaining the point; it was stopping Forest winning,
definitely,
which was huge. And Luton, as we talked about a lot, have been so close to getting results here, there, and whatnot. But the fact is, it wasn't the win, it wasn't the victory that they craved. So it is interesting, you know, the points business, as you say, is just hanging over everybody. And
which is mental as well. We talked about that.
It is. An interesting one down the bottom. Now, Everton weren't in action, of course. So Sean Dyche took his team on a training camp to Portugal. It's quite nice, I think.
Very nice.
Very nice, nice part of the world. The camp was reportedly marred by an altercation between Sean Dyche and Nathan Patterson at a bonding dinner. What has been described as a jocular slap, as opposed to a jocular strap, from Sean Dyche on Patterson led to tempers fraying.
Described by who? Which party? A jocular strap. Presumably that was from Sean's party.
I feel like you're the guy to fill us in on what a jocular slap entails. How does it differ from like a proper slap or a dry slap?
It has to be a slap with a wet fish.
It's got to be the noise.
It has to be accompanied by a laugh that the joker would do.
So I think a jocular slap is this.
Here we go. Yeah, because it's not a lot of noise.
It's like a kind of how you doing, kind of like an old uncle does to
but
you.
But if that's it goes on the noise.
Why are you asking me? I'm only ever the person who receives these slaps.
That's what I'm saying.
I never give them.
But if someone gets a slap and it's that kind of noise, it's like that's too much.
I reckon it was a Tony Soprano cupping of the cheek slap, maybe two or three times.
Yeah, I think,
in a patronising way, right. And Patterson probably like.
All right,
but Sean, like when David slaps Malcolm's head, in
the office,
but I think it was probably Dyche hitting him just maybe a fraction or two too firmly.
I think that's what it was,
And Patterson's gone. Hang on a minute.
Well, apparently,
and
it
then
was,
he does it,
was,
it again.
Apparently, it was the teammates. Patterson, I think, felt a bit like, well, not embarrassed. Well, probably embarrassed, but also felt quite belittled. And I think a few teammates by the sounds of things, but hang on a minute, and James Tarkowski had to get involved.
Yeah. Take Sean Dyche. Teammates got involved.
But it's apparently so, and James
Tarkowski
booted
Sean Dyche off the goal line.
The captain had to come in, calm things down, and reportedly, Tarkowski took Sean Dyche aside.
Did he?
Yeah. Mm. Sean, you're going to have to apologise.
Sean, you're going to have to let him slap you three times.
Joking. Yeah.
otherwise,
just don't slap each other.
Yeah. Otherwise, the post-dinner natters are just going to get ruined. They're going to fly around the room.
If here's the thing. Nathan Patterson's 22. Mm. He looks about 15.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a easy target.
It's a work trip. Mm. I don't know, call me old fashioned or whatever, but should you really be laying hands on an employee at a work trip of any description?
But the dynamics of player and manager are very different, aren't they? They are more kind of like, you know, more jovial, more personable.
It's just gone a bit too far.
Yeah, it's
a generational thing. His cheeks are very like ruddy, aren't they? So like maybe he looks pre-slapped. So maybe, like, if you look at that going, look, somebody's clearly slapped me before, let me have another go. Everyone's doing it.
Maybe it's
let me have a go.
You know, in Tenant, I've watched a lot of Tenant over all my flights the last few months. You know, the bullet comes backwards. Maybe Dyche was trying to take the slap off
his cheek. Taking it out,
true. Yeah, we have to leave that open.
It always happens.
We just don't know.
I'll say a variation of what I said about Mark Robbins is that It always happens to the manager you least expect.
Yeah,
it?
That's yeah. Sources.
I just can't see Sean ever doing something like that.
Well, Luke, sources have said the incident was a simple misunderstanding that was dealt with very quickly.
With a slap.
Yeah. And James
Everyone got a slap.
I like PR, the idea.
Like HR comes in, slap.
You know those slapping competitions that are always on Instagram?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're horrible, aren't they?
Yeah,
but that would like happen, that. Though, if Dyche and, say, David Moyes, who's threatened a slap before, if one of them, as you say, gave the kind of jovial little tap on the cheek, as if, oh, you played well today, I think the other one will go, well, so did you, and do it back just that little bit more.
And they get going,
and
yeah.
more and more, and suddenly...
Till one of them was dead.
One of them's got a weapon.
then the big FFP lottery hand comes in and just slaps Everton out of the league. Yep. Get out of it. The ultimate slap.
Indeed.
That is the ultimate dry money slap.
There we go. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Join us on Wednesday, of course, for more of this glorious chat. Do follow us on X, which you can find at twitter.com, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. And follow us on Spotify.
It's worth pointing out, yesterday was St Patrick's Day.
Was it?
Pitbull did a Twitter post saying himself with four-leaf clovers all around him, photoshopped.
Yep.
Clive, if you're listening. Mm. And it said, Happy St Pitrick's Day. That's why he's Mr. Worldwide.
Exactly.
He knows what all the national days are.
I know he's called Pitbull. Does he ever have like dog monikers in there?
Yeah,
like
good
kind
point.
Of. Is he? Does he hang out with other pit bulls?
Hopefully.
Is he like? Do they like the leader of like top
like the Snoop Dogg, like the dog pound when Nate?
Yeah,
Dogg,
I'm sort of imagining him. Actually, we talked about this earlier. You mentioned a dog called Wishbone earlier on.
Yeah.
What is Wishbone?
He,
so quick Google, I can't find what he does.
He's a crime-fighting dog, I think.
Right. Oh. Is that why he dresses as a detective all the time?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah. I'd like to think if Pitbull befriended a...
Just a 90s thing. I'm so, just annoyed that I don't know a celebrity
apparently
dog.
It's a Jack Russell in a show called Wishbone, which aired between 95 and 97 on PBS in the United States. It's about a dog named Wishbone who daydreams about being the lead character of stories from classic literature.
Yes!
Yeah, his Wikipedia entry... is of him playing Robin Hood.
Right, okay, so he does different characters,
because the
right.
dog who played him was called Soccer the dog, and he was like a famous dog in loads of different stuff.
Soccer dog.
Is Soccer dog, yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
There we are.
Good please to know.
Clear it up, you've got to clear that up, haven't you?
All I wanted to say was if Pitbull befriended a member of the English upper classes, it would be Pitbull the Younger. Or a Hollywood actor, Brad Pitbull. You know,
Pitbull the Elder.
The puns are there. Pitbull's actually a patron as well now. So if you go to patreon.com/footballramble or go onto the Discord, pay $5 a month, you can chat to Pitbull. He's on there 24 hours a day.
That's naughty.
No, it's true.
He's in there.
Oh, how would you lot know? I'm the only one on there. Trust me.
Well, we will trust you.
Yeah.
And more's the pity.
I got Andy Brassel on there because I told him on WhatsApp that everyone was slagging off Leon. Popped up straight away.
Yeah, that's it.
How would you lure me in?
We've got to go.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Luke
Ball.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Goodbye, everyone.
Thank you for Tushin Antaraja. Lovely to have you back.
Lovely to be back.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. We'll see you on Wednesday.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA.
TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.